The right team members can literally make or break your organization. This podcast is going to focus on the five qualities of a bad employee and how employers can avoid these bad employees and how employees can avoid these habits in order to be good employees for their companies. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer, with another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. Let's get started. So before I put together this show, I was thinking about what is something that an employer and an employee can benefit from? And I thought about what are the things that go through my mind when I figure out I want to get rid of someone before I actually get rid of them. Similarly, what are some triggers based on my experience dealing with hundreds of employees over the years? What are some common themes over and over and over again that I notice in people that are poor performers or people that simply will not work in my organization? Now, I will preface all of this by saying we have a very high standard in my company. We don't let people slide by with the bare minimum. We hate mediocrity. We believe good is the enemy of great, and we're chasing greatness and seeking for perfection. So take all of this with a pinch of salt, because the way I'm super critical and hyper-focused on these types of habits, it might not always apply to your organization because you may be struggling to find employees. There may not be a huge market for people that want to work for you or fill a particular role. But for me, I just pay more and then expect more. That's my solution to basically everything when it comes to work. Pay more, expect more. Because guess what? If you're paying 50% more than everyone else, you're going to naturally attract higher quality talent. And when those higher quality talents come in, one great employee is better than three average ones all the time. One great employee will do better work, higher quality than three average employees. So you might as well just pay that person a little bit more and keep them on board. And then once you attract them with money, you keep them with the vision, the dream, and the culture. So that's for another show. That's for another podcast. How do you retain employees and keep them happy and continue pushing them and motivating them? This podcast is all about the five deadly habits and the five telltale signs of a employee. First and foremost, if you as the CEO or the owner of your company have to change your style of communication to accommodate one person, or even worse, you have to change this person's role because of a weakness that they have, and you have to restructure your entire business for this one person to accommodate their needs and their weaknesses, that is a bad employee for you. Could be a good employee for someone else, but every business has a pulse. Every organization has a rhythm and a culture. And if you can't feel comfortable as a CEO of expressing your thoughts and your ideologies and your strategies and your techniques, and here's the perfect example. If you're on a Zoom call or you're in a meeting with all your team members and you're looking around the room and everyone's paying attention, everyone's taking notes, everyone likes what you're saying, and one person is on their phone texting, and one person is looking at you super bored, or one person, every time you say something that's a little out of left field, they roll their eyes. Get them out of your job. Get them out of that office. They shouldn't be working here. I should have been so much more aggressive when it comes to these types of employees. Anyone that rolls their eyes at me or disrespects me in my company, I should fire them on the spot. But it's because I want to appease everyone else. I'm cognizant of everyone else's emotions and their opinions of me, and I want to make sure that I'm leading a straight ship and on a straight path. I don't let my emotions get the best of me. I definitely don't let the ego get the best of me. But you best believe, if you disrespect me in front of my other team members, and you don't apologize for it publicly, or you don't make up for it, in my mind, you're already fired. It's just going to take a couple of steps to get there. So the person that makes you feel like you have to act a certain way and you have to accommodate for their weaknesses instead of building around their strengths, that's a person you need to get rid of. Example, you have an aggressive sales team. You have everyone that's like super motivated and pumped and excited, and we're like, yo, we're gonna hit these numbers, we're gonna hit these goals, we're here to make a lot of money, support our families, help our communities, all this stuff. And you have one person that's like, well, money is the root of all evil. And the truth is, if you're just focused on money, then you're not really fulfilled. I personally think I don't associate with those kind. No, no, no. This person is a piece of useless, low life that will never make it. Okay? I don't associate with weak people. Those people will not fit in an aggressive organization. That's the type of company that I have. If you want people around you that are, you know, super easygoing and really don't really care about making money and don't have any incentive or any motivation to grow and get better, that tells a lot about you as a leader and as a CEO. I don't like those people, so I get rid of them right away. If you have a problem making money here, you're gonna hate working at a personal injury law firm. We literally make our livelihood by charging a percentage and fighting insurance companies. That's what we do for a living. So it won't work if you're anti-money and anti-income and anti-personal injury. So if you have a person in your organization that doesn't fit with the moral fiber of your business model, you have to eradicate them. Bad employees are like a cancer. Your company is an organization. When you have cancer in one of your organs, you have to cut that organ out before the cancer metastasizes to the entire organization. Your business is the organization. If you don't get rid of that cancer, it will spread through the rest of the body and kill the entire organization. Bad employees are like cancer. If you don't cut them out, they will destroy your entire company. So you don't have to change for anyone. It's your company. It's your name on the door. You can do whatever the hell you want, unless you're a public company, and then you have to listen to the board. Till then, private companies, do your thing. I mean, we just ordered Chick-fil-A for lunch. They close on Sundays and talk about all these super conservative approaches for how they deal with their business, and people still love them. They are clearly aligned with their core values, and they attract a specific type of people. And the truth is, when you're really good at what you do, like making the best bomb-ass chicken sandwich in the country, hey, it's okay if your views don't align. It's okay if your views don't align with mine. I just want the best chicken sandwich. Similarly, it's okay if you don't align with my mentality and my thought process, my ideologies. You know I'm the best attorney for you. And you're probably gonna be like, you know what? It's okay. If that's his style of working, that's his style of thinking, I'm fine with it. But I still want the best. You know, confidence and courage doesn't happen when you get to a certain point, make a lot of money, and then start making decisions based off of your true feelings. If you think, oh, I need to make a lot more money before I can really tell people what I think, or I need to have a stronger company, I need to be more financially sound before I can have the courage and the confidence to speak out about these issues, that's not how confidence works. That's how cowardice works. So if you're not confident enough to get rid of that bad apple in your organization now, you're a coward. Make those tough decisions now, and I promise you, your organization will be better as a result. So that's number one. Don't ever change your company culture and your entire drive and your business model for one person. If you are changing it, make sure it's for the better. You're actually accommodating to that person's strengths, and those strengths will take your company to new levels instead of building around their weaknesses. Number two, I love talking about this because I have to teach my leaders how to be on the lookout for this type of employee. And the number two thing, the thing that you should really pay attention to as to a bad employee, is someone who's trying to convince you that they're working all the time. Anyone who strategically tries to make it look like they're working at odd times, like they're sending you an email at 11:32 p.m. and saying, hey, I've been up all night just thinking about work and I figured I'd go and knock out some demands. Bull. You clicked the send email later button at 3 o'clock p.m., checked out, went to hang out with your friends, and then wanted to make it seem like you've been working the whole time. I know that for a fact, because I've seen your type over and over and over again. So anyone who tries to make it seem like they're working, especially in front of the boss, the owner, the CEO, or around everyone else. Example, you're sitting in a company-wide meeting, and one person is like, you know, I've been really, really working hard and I've been trying to do a really good job on this. And, you know, I'm really paying attention to every single thing because I know we do really high quality work and we want to be perfect. But like, I'm just wondering, like, at what point should we like, you know, like ask for help or do this thing? And they know the answer that's being elicited. They know what they want. They want you to say, oh, no, we're here to help you. Like, we really want to make sure that, you know, you don't mess up anything on your cases. Like, we're here to support you. Yes, of course we are. But you're only saying that to get my attention, not to actually do the work. So how do you ameliorate that issue? Well, you put mandatory minimums. And you say, if you want to be in this role, here's your requirement as part of the job. So you have to think about the key performance indicators, the KPIs of each particular role. And every position in your company should have KPIs. From your CEO to your CFO to your COO to every mid-level manager to your entry-level associates to your assistants at the very bottom to your virtual staff, every single person should have KPIs. These are key performance indicators that says, if you want to keep your job here, here's what you need to do. And when you establish those minimums, here's the crazy thing. I love bad employees. Bad employees make my company so much better because bad employees force me to create new KPIs and new standards to avoid those similar types of bad employees in the future. So the rule is, if I have to create a new standard or a new rule for someone like you, then you don't deserve to be here. But thank you so much for showing me how many different ways there are of being a employee. Now I can make sure to avoid that same type of person in the future. Bad employees are necessary for your company's success because they will force you to identify key performance indicators and minimum requirements for people to keep their jobs. And that's why this podcast, this entire show, is designed on identifying those types of low-level employees that you should avoid. So the person that's very showy and not results driven, that wants to make everyone think that they're working and makes everyone think that they're smart, but doesn't actually deliver on the work, cut that person out right away. They're trying to make it look like they're working when they're really not. It's that same person that spends all their time figuring out how to cheat on the exam instead of actually studying. If you spent half the time studying for the exam instead of all the time cheating and figuring out how to cheat, you probably would have done even better on the exam. Some people are not designed to study and take the exam. Some people cheat their entire lives, and you need to figure out how to avoid those people from your organization. Number three, the worst type of employee that you can have is someone that never takes accountability and responsibility for their actions. Pay very close attention to the employee that will never say these two words, "I'm sorry," or these three words, "It's my fault." If you have an employee that will never, under any circumstances, apologize and take accountability for their actions, you need to get rid of that person. Because they will never, ever, ever agree that they made a mistake, no matter how big the mistake, no matter how fatal it is to your organization. So as long as they're there, they're going to always let other people be responsible for their mistakes. Anyone who doesn't take accountability is immediately on my radar. But you know what's even worse? Someone that says they take accountability and then never does back it up with their actions. You make a mistake as an employee. Totally understandable. You take responsibility. If you say, hey, it's my responsibility, I apologize, it's my fault, it's not enough to just say it. You have to back it up with actions. Say, hey, look, I'm really sorry that I didn't get that document mailed out on time. I know that's going to cost us X amount of dollars from that client, from this organization, whatever it is. I want to do right by this company because I believe in this company. Take it out of my check for the next 6 months, 8 months, year, however long it is. I just need at least this much in order to be able to survive. A great employee takes responsibility and then holds himself accountable. A great boss will never force an employee to pay for their mistake if it's their first. Your first mistake is an accident. Your second mistake is a choice. No one ever pays for the first mistake at my firm. No one ever pays for the first mistake they make at my firm. I've had paralegals literally cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're still working for me. But they make that same mistake again, it's coming out of their check. That's how I roll. You don't like it? Find another job. But I promise you, no one's going to hold you to this standard of excellence anywhere else. So pay attention to the people that don't take responsibility for their actions. And even more importantly, pay attention to the people that will pretend to take responsibility, but never will back it up with their own actions. Number four, when everyone doesn't like you, you're the problem. The likelihood that every single person around you, every friend, every family member, every colleague, every person that you've ever run into is an asshole is statistically impossible. However, it's very likely that you're the asshole. So that's why you have to fix yourself. Same thing applies to employees. If everyone in your organization hates someone, either they're going to quit that person if they're in a supervisory or a managerial role, or that person needs to get out. And most of the time, this person that people really dislike is a top performer. It's the person that's making the most money. They're the most aggressive salesperson. They have a personality that's really off-putting. They're great with customers, but they're really bad with their colleagues. They're disrespectful. They're condescending. Those are cancers to your organization. And it's really hard when you're like, man, I really like my right hand, but I got to cut it off to save the rest of the organization. So the top performers are sometimes the highest risk that you have. And if someone is an asshole to everyone in the organization and no one likes working around them, I promise you, the moment you get rid of them, everyone's improvement, everyone's productivity is going to skyrocket. Because now they don't feel burdened by this person's poor attitude. So pay attention to your leaders, your directors, your managers, your supervisors that no one likes. People mostly quit bad bosses. They don't quit bad jobs. Because bad jobs, like, I can deal with it as long as I like the people there. But if you don't like the people there, you're going to quit the job. Similarly, if you're a bad boss and people are quitting you, you're going to find yourself very lonely very soon. So we've covered four types of bad employees. People that force you to change your style. People that always want to show you that they're working. People that never take accountability for their actions. Someone who no one likes. And finally, here's my favorite one. My favoritist. You want to know how you identify a really bad employee? Someone who asks the wrong questions. Now, I know the saying goes, there's no such thing as dumb questions, or there's no such thing as a stupid question. There is. The stupid question is the one that is completely irrelevant and unrelated to the issue at hand. So if I'm having a conversation with my team, and I tell them, we are focusing on our financial metrics today. Here is the amount of dollars that we need to bring in order to keep this company running. Here's our overhead. Here's our costs. Here's our profit margin. Here are the numbers that we need to hit. And then someone raises their hand and says, well, I sent in my PTO request last week and no one really responded. You know, who's the best person to reach out for that? Get out of my goddamn office. I don't want that kind of person that's asking questions that are completely irrelevant and completely unrelated. Those people are ones that just want to pretend like they're showing up. They want that participation trophy, but they're really not engaged. So I'm always paying attention to the types of questions that people are asking. Now, I know that was a very off-the-wall type of example that I gave, but here's the truth. You will find when you're having meetings and you're having one-on-one discussions with your team members, someone is going to ask a question that just seems really out of place. And then if you find that that same person is always asking oddball questions over and over and over again, and they steered the conversation in the wrong direction, that person needs to go because they're not paying attention. They're there for the attention for themselves and not to pay attention to everyone else and to the company. And so people that are asking the wrong question are always a red flag in my mind. And if you ask the wrong question multiple times over and over and over again, I've already gotten rid of you in my head. It's only a matter of time before you walk out that door. So there's a common theme with all of these examples. It's people that are faking working when they're really not. You're faking that you're doing a great job and you have all these strengths when they're really weaknesses and you need the boss and you need the company to change the style of your job description. You're faking it when you want everyone else to think that you're working when you're really not. You're faking it when you never take responsibility for your actions, or you say that you're sorry, you say that it's your fault, but you never back it up. You're faking it when everyone doesn't like you. You're not doing your job. Your job is to make sure that the company is successful. That's what your job is. Like at any position, anywhere in the world, your job is to make sure that your role is a success for the company. And if no one likes working with you and you're a deterrent and you make everyone's life miserable, the cons greatly outweigh the benefits. And if you're asking the wrong questions, you're faking that you're paying attention. So if you're an employee that's listened to this podcast, please don't do the five things that I mentioned, especially if you work for me and you do any one of those. Fair warning, don't do any of the things that I just discussed. But if you're an employer, more importantly, pay attention to these types of people. Pay attention to those who never take accountability for their actions, people that want to make it seem like they're always working, people that are asking the wrong questions. Pay attention to those people, because those are the ones that always catch you off guard. And if you ever feel, this was the very first point that we covered, if you ever feel uncomfortable in having a conversation with an employee, like, man, I really need to change the way that I talk to my entire team because I feel like this one person is not going to be happy with it, go ahead and get rid of them. Your peace of mind, your happiness, and the overall culture of the organization is what's going to stay forever. That person is not. Might as well rip that Band-Aid off today. So this was a tough podcast to talk about. I know a lot of people probably don't like the vulgar language and the aggressiveness that came out today, but it's the truth. And I hope that this helps for employers and employees alike. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.